Psalm 1, I'm not going to give an exposition of the psalm, but it comes into some aspect of what we want to say. I want to give some description of the Christian man. Now, this is more than the good man. This is more than the civilized, well-schooled gentleman. He is a Christian man. That is his profession. That is his life. And he uses that term, I trust, knowingly, understanding, that it sets him apart from all others. And wherever you find him, he is a different kind of man from the ungodly. The ungodly that are mentioned here in Psalm 1, who are like the chaff and are blown away. No stability, and indeed heading for the judgment of God. This Christian man is described in the Psalm 1 as the blessed man. Now, in absolute terms, there's only one person who fits the bill for that, and that is the Lord Jesus. He is the blessed man. The word means happy, holy, fulfilled. He's a model man. He's a blessed man. We find here, if we look at the picture of the psalmist, he is situated by water. And therein, of course, he has proper supply, every need in a time of drought. And that changes who he is. And if you are in Christ today, you are like this tree planted by the rivers of water. There will be an evergreen sheen and shine and fruitfulness in your own life. You'll notice that he's saturated by the Word. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He loves the Bible. He's a biblical man. We can say that from the beginning. He has no interest in the counsel of the ungodly. In fact, he's trying to avoid that. He shuts his ears to the counsel of the worldly man. He sets himself to be a biblical-minded man. He delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. It's not just something that he says, ah, yes, 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 I know, but he truly focuses upon it and fills his heart and mind with it. He's also separated from the world. He will not sit down with the scornful. He will not stand in the way of sinners. He will not join with the counsel of the ungodly and follow their advice. And so we see here that this is the blessed man. Now let us translate that and these guides and marks of the blessed man to the Christian as a father, husband, and this is the man who is the head of the home. Last week we learned that mothers are the heart of the home. Mothers make the home run with grace and with gladness, and they are the very center of the home. But here is the blessed man, and he's the head of the home. This was God's order from creation. We learned that last week also, how the man is the head of the woman, 1 Corinthians 11:3. How the woman is to learn silence and ask her husband. There are rules that are mentioned. Now, how can you have a blessed home if the father of the home is not a blessed man? If he is losing out in the blessing, if he is in any way described as the chaff which we are told here that the wind driveth away, how can you have a blessed home? I say this to point out that it is absolutely vital that for a Christian home, a godly home, a blessed home, the father, the husband, needs to reflect the blessed man. He needs to be a man who is in blessing. Now, the father obviously, therefore, has a very big role that God has given to him. It's very far-reaching, either for blessing. If he's the blessed man, what a difference it will make. If he is the cursed man or the chaff, what a disappointment he will bring. What failure, and indeed what bitter results will flow from it. And so your headship or leadership will make the difference, both in your marriage and in your whole family. We could say this: every Christian wife needs a husband who is the blessed man. Every godly woman who wants to set her heart to follow the Lord needs a husband who is the blessed man, who is truly that tree planted by the rivers of water. Every Christian son or daughter needs a father who is the blessed man. Needs a father who is stable, who is an evergreen, who is the same in various seasons of life. And while there may be poverty or riches, whether there be health or sickness, whether there be joy or trials, that blessed man will see the family through because his roots are down deep into the rivers of water. So there's a whole lot here for us to learn today about the Christian man. I want us to start with his testimony. His testimony. This blessed man. The Christian man. He has a testimony. He's a Christian. Now, as I say, this Psalm 1 is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He's the only one who walked in this world who ever can fully fit the bill of Psalm 1, the blessed man. He's the most blessed man of all. He was the perfect model that we are to follow. And so we have to say that the Christian man is to be a Christ-like man. In him you can trust. In the Lord you can have confidence. The Lord Jesus, his character is true. His character is balanced. It lines up with the glory of God in every point. That's the life of the Lord Jesus, the blessed man. And so, in measure and in degree, the Christian man will strive to have that characteristic. Strive that his character is true, balanced, and lines up with the character of the Lord Jesus. His life is really a reflection of the Lord Jesus. The Christian man is converted to Christ. Let's get that right down. He has a testimony. He can tell you that there was a time when I was a sinner on the road to hell. My thinking was ungodly, but the Lord has saved me. And I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's his testimony. And ever since his conversion, his heart's desire is to be like the Lord Jesus. Some days we're better at it than others. But there is this striving in the heart of the Christian man to be like the Lord Jesus. He is Christ-like because he is in communion with his heavenly Father. You know the life of the Lord Jesus. I don't need to tell you this. The life of the Lord Jesus was one continually in fellowship with his heavenly Father, by day, by night, by walking on the roadside, by sitting down in the home. The Lord Jesus had a constant communion with his heavenly Father. Therefore, the Christ-like man will be a man of prayer. He'll be a man who knows how to commune with God. He's the Christian man. He is like the Lord Jesus in this absolute area. My heart is twinned in fellowship with God. And just as the roots of the tree go down deep into the water, the rivers of water, there is in the Christian man a life with God. The Christian man has roots, deep roots. And those roots supply the strength, the motivation, the ability to be Christ-like. He is Christ-like because he enjoys, therefore, the strength of God in his soul. We know that our Lord Jesus was strengthened by his Father. There were times when God sent an angel. God sent the Holy Spirit. God announced from heaven his favor and encouraged his Son and strengthened him. The Christ-like man will enjoy that too. In our daily walk, tasks, sometimes difficult things that a Christian man has to endure. Because he doesn't run away from the will of God. He must go through and endure. And he will do so because of the strength that he enjoys that comes from the Lord. For all that is required of him, patience. Every Christian man, husband, father, needs patience for leadership. It's the easy thing to opt out and leave it to somebody else. Gentleness, to have that kind, appropriate word to deal as the Lord Jesus dealt in situations with people who were doing the wrong thing, in gentleness. Long-suffering, that is just putting up with things until God changes them. Sometimes in the Christian life there are situations that we wish were different. But until God changes them, we suffer, endure, persevere. Meekness and temperance, self-control. Where do we get the strength for these things? Well, the Lord Jesus was strengthened by his Father. And the Christian man will know strength that comes from his Lord. Otherwise, your strength is fleshly. Your strength is your own. And I assure you it will fail. The man who has only got natural human strength to rely on will fail. But the Christian man, his life goes much deeper than that. He has a communion with God. He has a water supply of life to his soul that makes him a very different and, we believe, a much better man. His leaf will not wither. His life will not dry up, even under difficulties. The Christian man. Does that describe you today? Can you say today that you have this life of communion with God? That you enjoy strength in your soul coming from God? Another thing, the Christ-like man is Christ-like because he does the will of his Father. He's a servant. And again, this was the outstanding perfection, the outstanding perfection of the Lord. He was the servant of the Father. He came to do the Father's will. The Christian man lives with that singular purpose in life, to please and honor his heavenly Father. His prayer daily, Lord, lead me to the center of your will. Here's a door opens, a door of opportunity, a door of career, a door of the future. But Lord, if this is not your will, close the door. The Christian man only wants to do the will of God. And if it pleases my heavenly Father, that's what I want to be doing. Can you say that today? That's the Christian man. That's the desire of the true believer. And by this means, the blessed man, or the Christian man, brings glory to the Lord. That's the kind of man that the Christian wife can trust in. How easy it is for a woman to trust in this Christ-like man. He lives in communion with God. He has resources and strength that comes from his spiritual life and walk with God. He is praying to go on in God's will. How easy it would be for a Christian lady to be united, to be yoked in marriage, to be a supporter and an encourager of such a husband who is the Christ-like man in these areas. One other thought about the Christ-like man. He leads others to God. This Christ-like man is, in a sense, the way to the Father. Now, please bear me out, my thought here. I'm not setting up that every Christian is now a mediator between God and man, no. But we are the way to the Father. Our whole life ought to lead those that are under our influence, under our guidance in particular, in the home, in the family, and even others who may look up to our witness and walk, that we, if they should walk in our footsteps, we lead men Godward. You remember the story of the man who walked on a wintry evening from his home to the pub? And when he got there, his little son came through the door of the pub and he said, "How did you get here?" And he said, "Father, I just followed your footsteps." And they led all the way to the drinking place, the place of booze. The Christian man, he would want those who follow in his footsteps to be led Godward. And he is truly a leader in the sense that his own walk will lead men Godward. And if you marry that man, if you should make that man to be your husband, your head, you will be led Godward. As you walk hand in hand with him through life, your life will be going in a Godward direction. He's the blessed man that will make you the blessed woman. There will be a godliness and a unity and a oneness of direction which brings peace and harmony and joy and fulfillment and all those blessings because you are wedded to the blessed man. Now, this is the testimony of the Christian man. He's like his Lord. I hope that applies to every Christian man here today. Every one who professes the name of the Lord Jesus. This is my testimony. This is my burden, my own desire, and it's what others can say about you. He is like the Lord Jesus. I used to have difficulty understanding what likeness to the Lord Jesus is. Some people try to paint a picture of the Lord and then say, well, I'm going to be changed into his image. Well, if you looked at some of the artwork that people present of the likeness of the Lord Jesus, you wouldn't want to be like it. You wouldn't want to be like him. In fact, the reality is, we do not know what the physical features of the Lord Jesus are as to his human person. But likeness to the Lord Jesus is not really, you know, that his countenance, his features become my features. The genetic makeup of my body is fixed for this world. I'm not going to be any different looking. Still going to be old Ian in this world. This body of mine, physically speaking, it's not going to change in this world. Praise God, it'll be changed in the world to come. But for me to be a Christ-like man in this world means that I do the things the Lord Jesus did. I live in the secret communion with God the Lord Jesus did. I draw my strength from God as Jesus did. I walk in a Godward direction as the Lord Jesus did. Therefore, that's the testimony of the Christ-like man. Secondly, his time. His testimony, then his time. And I'm going to rattle through these quickly. He'll have time for God. He'll sing that hymn with joy. Take time to be holy. He'll have time to provide for his family. That will be a must. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. He will provide for his family. The Christ-like man, the blessed man, he has time to share his life with his wife. That's very important. After all, this is why you get married. Was that not the whole idea when you made that very proposal? Would you share your life with me? And so a Christian man, this Christ-like man, will share his life with his wife. Do you understand, men, do you understand that your wife lives life through you? Let's think about that. All that you are, all that you do, your wife is expected to support and encourage. She's your helpmate. That's her role. That means sharing life with her. Now, it seems that many husbands need to learn this. We know that the Lord has time for his bride, the church. He's never too busy. He's never distracted. His ear is ever open to the cry of the righteous. And his interest is ever in the welfare of his bride. And that is constant. And so, men, we need to give our wives time. Not just during the honeymoon, and then that time commitment is over. I'm not sure it needs to be scheduled time. That might depend on your lifestyle. I'm not sure if you have to set aside particular evenings or hours that, well, we just know that that is our time. That may well depend on what kind of life you live. But there are precious moments. Moments that can be gathered up at any end of the day, morning or evening. And those are precious moments that can be devoted. There needs to be this gift of time. And the very best gift, husbands, are you listening? The very best gift that you can give to your wife is time. That time that she knows that she has your full attention. Also time to enter into the needs of children. And while the mother may be the principal childminder and the heart of the home, yet the father needs a healthy interest in children at every stage of life. Now for some of us, it's gotten to the point that it's time on the phone with grown children that are no longer at home. But still, we need to show that interest. Entering into their burdens and cares and decisions. Given a word where requested. And then, of course, of littler children in the home at various stages. Father, the Christ-like man, the blessed man, the man who is represented here as the tree planted by the rivers of water, the evergreen tree bringing forth fruit in his season, his leaf that will not wither, the blessed man, the Christ-like man, will have time to those responsibilities, to build that relationship and truly be that leader and that godly influence. So that's his testimony. We have his time. Now we come to his talk. The talk of the Christian man. Now for husbands, talking can sometimes mean just listening. After all, women seem to have that gift of communication, that ability to just open up and let it all pour out. And that's the way most women are. And husbands, we need to listen. But that also demands a response. Also demands that we open our mouths and communicate back to our wives. Now there are three kinds of talk I want to mention. There is firstly friendship talk. Nothing greater than that. Friendship talk. Small talk. Just kindly words that build friendship. It's a very necessary part of the loop. If we miss that link, then all the other talk will not carry much weight. So that's friendship talk. Faith talk. It's important that husband and wives read the Bible and pray together. That they are literally on the same page on the Bible. And they grow together in their knowledge and understanding of biblical truth. Faith talk. After all, we did learn that women are to ask their husbands at home. They're not to be usurping authority over the man in the public place. Ask your husband at home, it says. So that certainly tells us that the husband is to lead, guide, spend time in ministering, in faith talk. It's vital to your marriage, vital to your harmony growing together. Let me ask you, husband, do you see to it that you read the Bible and pray with your wife? That's necessary. It's biblical. The Christian man will do that. Then the third area of talk is faithful talk. So we have friendship, faith, and faithful. Faithful talk. That means to support your wife, privately and publicly. This loyalty, one to another, is vital. It's the anchor of friendship and relationship. Support your wife through thick and thin to uphold her and to help her. After all, she is your spouse, not your sport. In other words, poking fun. Words that belittle your wife, her judgment or her actions, and making it a point of fun with others. It betrays trust. And a faithful talk will be conversation that will support, strengthen, and uphold the words, the actions of your life. This is the mark of the Christ-like man. I think of the Lord Jesus. He was a talking man. The Lord Jesus came into this world to be the Word of the Father. He was a talking man. He did a lot of talking. For 3 years with his disciples, he talked and he talked and he talked. And when he was ministering, he talked. And when he was walking by the roadside, he talked with the disciples. There is the picture of our Lord Jesus dealing with his bride, with his church. And the Christ-like man will be a talkative man. He will open up, share his heart, share his thoughts, share his desires. That's the work of the Christ-like man. Now, this all involves the art of communication. I almost feel that I'm stating the obvious, but that's what preachers are paid to do. State the obvious. Remind God's people of the things that the Bible states over and over and over. Talk. And talk means you use words, not just grunt. Not just shake your head in some direction. Talk means meaningful words. Kind words. And repeated words. Don't be like the man who told his wife, "Honey, I love you, and when my love changes for you, I'll let you know." That was the end of his communication, or the extent of his communication. Wives need to know and to be reassured over and over again with the same words. You don't have to go to the dictionary to get a different word every time you tell your wife you love her. She just wants to hear it over and over and over again. So that's his talk. I suppose we could go a lot further and take more time on the talk aspect. I think that a Christian man, he's known by his conversation. His tongue will bewray or betray who he really is. The very nature of his talk, the substance of his talk, the things that interest him will be godly. They'll be wholesome. They will edify. They will build up. That is the Christian man. We come now to his tasks. So we've had his testimony, his time, his talk. We come now to his tasks. This is like a final to-do list. It's like a honey-do list. And wives are very good at crafting those and putting them up on the refrigerator and reminding us these are things that need to get done. Well, here is a to-do list for fathers and husbands. Just to sum it all up, do love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's something we're to do. We're commanded. Ephesians 5 tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let me tell you, that'll keep you busy. If you can reach that standard as a husband, there are many parts to that. That is the sacrificial love of the Savior, putting your wife first, loving her, caring for her, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That means you don't sit in the chair all day, but you are willing to sacrifice. Also, do lead as a husband. You are the houseband. You are the unifier, the caregiver, the protector of family and home. Do not fail in your God-given role of leadership. A woman can only submit to her husband where there is godly, biblical leadership. You fall in that and feel in that, and your wife will find it very difficult to support you along the way. A third thing, do lighten the load. Lighten the load. The Lord Jesus was a worker. The Lord Jesus says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is a picture for the Christian man. When we are married, we are yoked to one another. But as in the picture the Lord gave us of the animals plowing, the two animals must cooperate together. There must be lightening the load for the other. And that's harmony. That's unity. There is a oneness of direction and purpose. And the role of each one is to lighten the load of each other. A husband, sometimes we feel in this. We think that we're to be served and we're to be cared for and looked after, and all the domestic responsibilities fall upon wives alone. Let me ask you, what did you do this week to lighten the load of your spouse? What did you do in real practical terms to lighten the load? To make life easier. That's what it's in practical terms. Some people say that if you're too spiritual, you'll be so heavenly, you'll be of no earthly use. Let me tell you, this is practical. Christ-likeness is practical. The Lord Jesus came into the world to lighten the load, to lift the burdens. And if you are a Christ-like man, you will in many ways lighten the load and make life easier in your home. The Christ-like man. How do you match up today? Take the mirror now and look in there and see yourself. Are you the Christ-like man lightening the load? A fourth task, do laugh. Do laugh. Bring laughter and joy into your home and family. I say this because the Lord Jesus was the happy man. And if we understand Psalm 1, the word blessed means happy. In the plural, it means happinesses. That's how it is in the Hebrew. Happinesses. A man full of happiness. Oh, this is the blessed man. This is the man that comes through the door of his home and the home lightens up. I believe that's how it was when the Lord Jesus entered into a home. When he was in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Oh, that was a blessed home because the blessed man had come. We're told in Hebrews chapter 1 that our Lord Jesus was glad above his fellows. The Lord Jesus was not a dour, sour, miserable, countenanced man. He said to his disciples that he would have his joy to remain in them. The Lord brought joy. He brought gladness. And he brought laughter where he went. Now, it's not that shallow, mere, fake, phony, Pharisaic, plastic laughter or joy. It was real joy. Godly joy. Holy joy. Happy joy. A little of heaven on earth. And my brother, if you're living in communion with God, you'll have that happiness in your soul. You will have something of the Lord in your very heart that will carry you along with a song. In many places after the Reformation, Scotland is well known for this. When you walk down the street in a row of houses, you could hear the singing of psalms from the homes. Very often led by godly fathers and husbands, leading his family in devotions, the song was in his heart and it filled the home. Can you turn your home into a place of song? If you can't sing, whistle. And if you can't whistle, hum. But let others know that there's a song in your heart. This is what the Lord would have the Christian man, the godly man, to do. Now maybe you have to confess that there's terrible failure. Terrible failure in matching up with this blessed man. You seek blessing in your life and in your church, but you've fallen far short of the Christ-like man. This is so important for your own life and service for God. It's vital to your wife and family. To be the blessed man is everything. It's everything. And if you are in blessing, if your own soul is in blessing, that will filter out and become a mighty blessing to those in your home. Men, we cannot afford to only produce chaff in our lives. The chaff of broken marriages, broken homes, where children are hardened and hindered, driven away from the things of God. I want to just close here with Ephesians 4:30, which warns us of that chaff and the damage that is done where that holy, godly, blessed man is not doing what he ought. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put away all these things. Don't let them rule your heart nor your home. One of the greatest hindrances to communication and blessing in the home is anger. Uncontrolled anger. The unwholesome words that Paul condemns are usually the very result of anger. J. J. Adams described the woman who is married to a man who cannot control his temper as living at the foot of an active volcano. And you're always living in fear that it's going to erupt before you know it. What tension that brings to the home. What grief it brings. And if it grieves family members, it grieves the Holy Spirit. The blessed man would be so different. Father, husband, are you praying that God will make you the blessed man in your home? That means that you will be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. And let me also say that it's so important in the life of this church. The fruit of this, what we've learned here today about the blessed man, will change this congregation. Any church, any congregation can only be as spiritually strong and useful to God as the families that make up that congregation. And unless fathers and the men of the church are living as the blessed man in the fullness of God's blessing and walking in the very grace of the Savior, what is the church going to be like? If someone feels the burden of this and you see your own failure, well, praise God, the Lord can change you. The Lord can change you. And as I say, we're not talking about the changing of your physical features. We're talking about your heart. We're talking about your walk. We're talking about your zeal for God. The Lord can change you. You need to come to the Lord, perhaps firstly to make you a Christian. And then you need to keep coming back to the Lord that He makes you that blessed man, that spiritual man, the Christian. God does not create mice for men. I pity the wife that is married to a mouse of a husband. You know what I mean? He's a wimp. He's weak. Watery. Doesn't know what he thinks. He's divided in his opinions. He has no clear direction in his life. That's a recipe for misery. The Bible tells me that when God converts a man and He gives him a new heart and the Holy Spirit lives within, he will be a strong man. He'll be a man out and out for God. He'll be noted. God is in the business of making Christian men. Christian men that are the blessed men, who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His leaf also shall not wither. He's like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Does this really reflect your life? There's none of us perfect. We feel our wives. We feel our children. Any godly father will confess that. But we want to be the blessed man. We want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. We want to be like the Lord Jesus, bringing joy and gladness, peace with God, holy living, happy living, the sweetness of the gospel flowing through our lives, that we might be a blessing. I pray the Lord will use this today and minister to every one of us to make us better husbands and fathers. Yes, blessed men.